There really was a New Englander named Tupper behind Tupperware. His creation's in trouble now. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The value of Tupperware stock was cut nearly in half yesterday after the company communicated doubt about its ability to, quote, continue as a going concern. Tupperware is saying it needs money, and soon the company says it's working with financial advisors to try to find that money. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes takes a look at the company's business model and what went wrong.
Tupperware was invented by a chemist named Earl Tupper back in 1946. And at first, people really didn't get it.
So very often people wanted to see it and touch it and feel it.
Neil Saunders is with the retail and consumer insights company Global Data.
There were products that needed to be demonstrated in a way.
Enter the Tupperware party, where Salesforce members, many of them women, would have people over and show them how Tupperware worked, including the sound of air being sealed out. In recent years, though, Saunders says this kind of direct selling has become a lot harder.
Consumers have access to the internet now in a way that in the kind of 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, they didn't have.
So fewer people are choosing to sell the products. In 2022, the size of Tupperware's sales force went down 18% from the year before. The company's been trying to move the party around. In October, it announced it would start selling products through Target. One goal was to get seen by young people who weren't familiar with the brand. However, a lot of us already stocked up on kitchen storage at the onset of the pandemic to store all that sourdough bread we were making.
When you buy a product that is good, you may not need to replace it that quickly.
James Gellert is the CEO of Rapid Ratings, a risk and analytics company. He points out that lean times like Tupperware is having used to be a lot easier to navigate. But now those businesses
all of a sudden have run into much bigger problems with tighter credit and higher interest rates, which make the cost of that capital much higher.
Tupperware's money troubles are a problem not just for the company, but for the people who remain in its sales force, points out Neil Saunders of Global Data.
Not only is it a potential loss of income, it's also a potentially very difficult lifestyle to replace.
Saunders says direct selling allows a kind of flexibility, which is useful especially for women. Because parties can be scheduled around other responsibilities, like childcare. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
This morning, investors must be perceiving some kind of opportunity in Tupperware's downtrodden stock. While it closed down 48% yesterday, it's back up 10% in pre-market trading right now. Now, you've done your taxes because you're organized, but others have 8 days, including today, to file or to get an extension. Our tax season coverage continues now with a look at a number from the American Immigration Council that finds that immigrant workers contributed more than $500 billion in local, state, and federal taxes in 2021. It's $525 billion, to be exact. Here's Marketplace's Elizabeth Trovel.
Roughly a quarter of Houstonians are foreign-born, so tax preparation goes down in many languages.
English, Spanish, Chinese, Burmese, Vietnamese.
Raymond Nguyen is with Baker Ripley, a nonprofit that helps thousands of Houston's immigrant families file their taxes.
This is a lot of, you know, explanation, handholding, especially for the folks that, you know, are filing for the first time.
Those contributions from immigrants punch above their weight, says Steve Hubbard of the American Immigration Council.
They're more likely to be working than just in the general population.
So immigrants pay a greater share of taxes than their population would suggest. They also have a positive fiscal impact because many come as young adults ready to work and pay taxes. And the government didn't have to spend a dime on their education. Alex Narasta is with the Cato Institute.
Immigrants pay $1.38 in taxes for every $1 that they consume in government benefits.
As for U.S.-born folks, they pay just 69 cents in taxes for every dollar Uncle Sam spends on them. I'm Elizabeth Trovall for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Workers are increasingly unhappy with bosses. They filed 16% more complaints about unfair labor practices October to March, according to the National Labor Relations Board. This at a time of increasing union organizing. Marketplace's Henry Epp has that.
Employees can file charges against their employer for a lot of reasons.
Threats, interrogation, discharges, harassment.
Kate Bronfenbrenner at Cornell says often these charges happen when workers try to unionize and employers try to stop them. As union organizing drives have increased in the last few years, more companies have crossed the line, says Bronfenbrenner.
And they're going to do anything possible, including breaking the law, to quash the organizing campaigns.
The uptick means it's taking the National Labor Relations Board longer to process charges, says its general counsel, Jennifer Abruzzo.
We are woefully understaffed, and the result of that is that the service to the public does suffer.
That's even after the NLRB got its first funding boost in nearly a decade last year. If the Biden administration gets its way, the agency could be in line for an even larger increase next year. I'm Henry Epp for Marketplace.
Just months after the U.S. Postal Service won approval for raising the cost of a first-class stamp from 60 to 63 cents, it's now shooting for 66 cents. Part of this is inflation, and part of it is people mailing less, given the electronic alternatives. 66 cents would make a stamp 32% higher than before a pandemic. Our producers are James Graham, Ollie Dalbert-Hansen, Ariana Rosas, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. Our senior producer is Meredith Gerritsen-Morby. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.